please.
Item 838, authorize an increase in the Chief Procurement Officer's signature authority for contracts that fall under City Code 5.33, 5.34, and 5.68 as a pilot process to expedite city contracts.
Very good. Thank you. And colleagues, I have a number of questions, even though I am bringing this. And I know some of the answers to some of these questions. I do not know all the answers to all of the questions. And conceptually, I think this is a very good idea. This policy has not been updated in many years. And I think it is appropriate for us to review this policy and to update it. Second of all, as many of you know, a great amount of council time is taken up with these contracts, and it's been my observation in 7 months of serving as the mayor that lots come to the council and very few are actually pulled and or amended. I'd like to have an opportunity just to ask my questions first, and that might spur some further conversation or further questions as we discuss this. So first of all, could you tell me the number of contracts that came to the council in the last year or so between that 100 and 500,000 level?
Mayor Wheeler, just for the record, I'm Ken Rust. I'm the city's chief financial officer and the director of the Bureau of Revenue and Financial Services. With me this afternoon is Larry Palat. He is the interim chief procurement officer, and I think he has that information. I'm going to turn it over to him and have him answer that question for you.
Great.
Thank you, Ken. Good afternoon, commissioners, Mr. Mayor. I've got a whole list of talking points, and you're kind of cutting in the middle here. I might have to look
around.
Well,
you know what? Go through your talking points, and if you don't answer all the questions, then I'll ask them then. If you have talking points, let's hear them.
Thank you. Okay, so in the last three fiscal years, this is tied to the contracting levels. The PTE group, that's a professional services group, they average 310 contracts a year. The average spend for the 3 years has been $30 million. The average contract value was $113,964. Specific data, now this is the last 18 months, they have done 588 contracts. The total spend is $88 million, and the average contract value has moved up to $149,000. So it's an average annual increase from 310 contracts to 392 if you took this annualized.
And that's annualized. Okay.
That's annualized, okay. Yes, sir. And the contract value increase is $35,000, which is kind of significant when you start at 113. And so where we're at is 21 of the contracts exceeded $500,000. You would have seen those anyway. You have 116 contracts that came in over 100. So what you have is 95 contracts between that $100,000 and $500,000 on the PTE side. So that would be that 95 contracts that would not actually come here to you to spend your time on working on.
So how many of those contracts were either denied or amended?
By dollar value, none.
Zero.
Yes. There have been some minor questions or Commissioner Fish likes to make a friendly amendment to adjust something in terms of a time frame or something like that. Always appreciated, but as far as dollar value, nothing.
Okay, so if I'm sitting out there and I'm hearing this, I'm like, okay, that's great. The council didn't do anything. But what about transparency?
This is really not so much an issue tied to transparency as it is about workload and efficiencies. Transparency you generally largely comes, let's take BES for an example. They tell you in the budget they're going to spend $20 million on sewer rehab this year. And that's approved in the budget. It's defined. It's there. The dollars are there. They're approved, not approved, changed, whatever it happens. But that's approved. When we bring contracts before you, that's not changing the $20 million. That's not new money, a different allocation. That's money you've already said, yes, we're going to spend it on this type of work. All these contracts are just identifying the specific areas in which we're actually going to do the work. So the transparency is already in place. So for the PTE side, when the contracts come back, I guess I looked at it a little bit differently. On the $100,000 to $500,000 contracts, those are almost exclusively tied to these sort of routine kind of A&E, architectural engineering type of services. So what happens is, if you use a kind of about an 8% calculator, that's kind of roughly what the PTE fees are for a project. At $200,000, that project's going to be a $4 million project. When the construction project is actually identified, that's going to come back here anyway. So you see it on the front end on the budget, on what's done relative to how much did we actually agree we're going to spend. You see it again on the other side when that $4 million project comes back in here and they say, okay, this neighborhood or this area is where we're going to spend this $4 million.
So the contract itself has not been approved, but the expenditure has already been approved through the budget process.
Yes, sir.
So how did you pick... You made a pretty good case, maybe not directly, but you made a case for the $100,000 threshold. You talked about the $119,000, then you talked about the average $149,000. So I get the $100,000 threshold. Tell me more about the $500,000 threshold on the other side. How did you pick that number?
Actually, that number comes to keep us it's a lot of research. Looking at other sort of similarly sized jurisdictions, nothing, of course, relatively close by except for Seattle. And then I looked at what goes on in Salt Lake City, what goes on in Denver. I looked at Atlanta, and that didn't tell me much of anything. I looked at Chicago, and then we kind of looked at around similar size, even though those aren't all similar sized cities. And that's pretty low end, very typically contracts over $1 million come before some kind of a legislative body. Contracts up to $1 million. And this is we could pile on a bunch of research, but this is pretty rule of thumb, is that contracts up to $1 million get approved through the whatever the contracting office is. Now, a lot of these agencies use decentralized process. The environmental service type people and water people do their own contracts. Transportation does their own, that kind of thing. So those are approved inside that agency. They never see the light of, this is a bad term, never see the light of day in terms of in front of a legislative body. And we're not looking at that. We're looking at $500,000 as the very low end and saying, okay, this is something we're routinely doing anyway. There's a lot of stuff that comes here that not much happens.
So you've built a opt-out for the council. This is effectively a pilot project.
Yes, sir.
And at the end of the pilot project, the council gets to decide whether this has been a good exercise or a bad exercise. The public gets to decide whether or not the transparency requirements were met or not met.
Yes.
But when I think of a pilot project, I think of 6 months or a year. I note that this pilot project is a year and a half. Why the long timeline? Or, my opinion, a relatively long timeline for a pilot.
The time frame we looked at, because if we enact it now, we basically have, if we go through the end of this calendar year, a 6 month time frame, we won't have enough time to develop a really good, solid, data driven report for you. If we make it a 1 year pilot, that means it ends essentially middle of our heavy contracting season next year, which is going to be pretty problematic for a lot of bureaus. They've planned on doing things a certain way. They get to June 30 and they have to switch back to the old
way. And I'm sorry, what's the season? How are you describing the contract?
Oh, I'm sorry. That would be basically, for lack of a better term, April 1st to about the middle to late October.
That's when
our big construction projects are winding up.
So it gives you effectively 6 months after the completion or 5 months after the completion of the season to compile the data, put together a report, come back to the public and the council.
Right.
Got it.
We would have a good, solid, data-driven report to give you.
I have a couple. Oh, go ahead.
Please, I'm done.
Does this proposed ordinance encompass contract extensions or changes of scope to contracts, current contracts?
Those would follow the rules that they follow now. That piece of the rule would not change. It's difficult to amend a contract to add scope without it coming back to council. Generally speaking, when you add significant scope to a project, you go above the 25% threshold, which automatically comes back to council. Okay. So that piece is not changing.
Okay. Thank you.
I have a couple questions. So the mayor's, first question dealt with transparency. So under our current system, some of these routine contracts that we process show up on the consent agenda. We adopt them, but there's a place where people can go to find them. If we agree with your recommendation here, is there some place on the website or through your website or some other place where people can go to find contracts subject to this pilot that have not come to council but that have been signed off by a bureau director?
I understand. I guess I'm trying to think of a cogent answer from the standpoint all contracts are available.
I understand.
And we aren't changing the solicitation piece, so our electronic procurement system still records all of that.
Right. Well, under our current system, these contracts either show up on our regular agenda or our consent agenda. So you can go to the auditor's office website, you can find the item, click on, get the materials, and it's readily accessible.
Right.
If in the name of efficiency and updating our process, we accept your recommendation, I still think there needs to be a centralized place people can go to find this. Otherwise, we're requiring people to jump through a lot of hoops to find information. And that seems to me different than the efficiency argument that you've raised in terms of how we use our time.
I just want to make one comment. I think it's an interesting question. I just want to remind council that for right now, we have signature authority at a lower level. So there are already a number of contracts that don't come to council at all that are subject to the same, if you think it's difficult to get that information. It's no different than what we're proposing at just simply larger limits. So I understand your point. We have a bit of that already. We also have, after the fact, some reporting tools. We do have the vendor payment checkbook that we created a couple of years ago that gives any individual the opportunity to go online to our website and pull down information about vendors that are receiving payments from the city in almost real-time, monthly updated status. Now, it's not linked to contracts specifically, but there's a lot more vendor information that's present than there was even just a couple of years ago on the city's website in terms of who we're spending our money with.
Fair enough. A couple other questions. One of the issues that we often do focus on when contracts come to council is the equitable contracting numbers.
Yes, sir.
Of the issues that come to us, sometimes we're told there's a challenge. Sometimes we look at the equitable contracting numbers. Sometimes we look to see whether the bid came below the good faith the engineer's estimate,
right,
things of that nature. My sense is that the council has spent a lot of time in the last few years looking at the numbers in terms of equitable contracting. So if we follow your recommendation, who's tracking that information?
That information is developed by Procurement Services now. And there isn't anybody out there that fights harder for more participation than Procurement Services.
No, I'm not suggesting you don't, but I'm saying that my experience is that's an area that my colleagues tend to focus at. Mm-hmm. Have we reached our aspirational goal? Have we done better? And sometimes when we chronically don't reach certain goals, we ask questions about what are the barriers. Other times when we're well above our goals, we celebrate that fact and we ask what was different. So that has been a valuable part of our contract review process. If we accept your recommendation, what happens to that piece of oversight?
Nothing happens to the piece of oversight from the procurement services type of thing.
Right.
From the council perspective, individually, commissioners could ask their bureaus to forward them the same. The information is still there, still available. So individual commissioners could ask individual bureaus specifically to a particular project or a type of information if you want to know, okay, in our A&E contracts, where's our participation level in, for example, environmental services? But
Let me ask you this, because we could spend all day on this question, but I just want to have you reviewed this proposal with Dante James, Office of Equity?
Yes.
And what's his position?
He was supportive.
Okay. Why does this have an emergency clause on it?
Solely on from the legislative aspect, there's only two ways to do this: regular agenda and emergency. And, I mean, it would be nice if there was something in the middle that didn't imply risk of life and loss of limb and all of that.
But if we drop the emergency clause for whatever reason, that doesn't put you in any bind today, does it?
As a bind, no. It simply restricts the Bureau's ability to make use of this. This is an efficiency thing.
Right.
And it simply restricts the bureaus from using it for another 6 weeks.
Ken, let me just ask my last question to you. You know, a number of years ago, the city's utilities adopted a policy that any contract that was valued at $500,000 or more would be put on the regular agenda. And in fact, the net effect of that is we have a lot more stuff on the regular agenda. And occasionally I've heard from colleagues saying we may be actually overdoing it. But that's the policy. And what it ensures is a higher level of transparency on contracts with the utilities. How does this proposal change that practice?
Well, clearly we're going to have, if it's approved, you know, we're going to have a different level of contracts coming to you. So whether they are on consent or otherwise, you know, it could affect the number that you would see. I think a little context on this is important as well. We're bringing this action to you not because we're trying to hide anything. That's clearly not the case. You know, we're getting a lot of concern from bureaus about getting projects out the door. You know, we're a central service provider. We have a lot of work. Over the last several years, there's been an explosion in funding resources for bureaus, and they want to get projects out the door. The community wants to see those projects built. BES is spending more money. Water is spending more money. We have a housing program that's ramping up. PBOT has more money. Parks has a GO bond measure. So we're under a lot of pressure from our customer bureaus to find ways to do our work more efficiently. This is one of the ideas that we've been looking at that could expedite the time it takes to get projects out the door. Now, it comes with some potential trade-offs. It means that fewer items will come to council. Does that mean they're not going to be looked at? I don't believe that's the case. We've talked about the authority for those projects still will be the same. You know, we still have a lot of review by budget advisory committees, by bureaus themselves. We have our own processes that have been approved by council in terms of the way we're going to contract for, bid for projects. All of that is unchanged. What we're trying to do is find some balance between the volume of activity that we're having, the time it takes to process that activity, and being able to get projects built and out the door and serving the citizens of the city of Portland and making our bureau customers happier. I think if you were to ask bureau customers whether they're supportive of this, they would say yes. We think this is a common sense kind of change that, if structured and executed correctly, will be beneficial to us. And that's why we proposed a pilot period of time to find out, are there things that we're missing that could be improved upon? Are there some reporting things that could be developed that would make people more comfortable about that? But really, it was in response to a lot of demand and concern about how do we get projects done more efficiently. And so what we're trying to do is balance multiple competing ideas here. We think this is a reasonable way to do that. We appreciate the concerns that have been voiced. We have those concerns as well. But we think that a period of time to try this out and see how it works makes sense for the city, given the volume of activity that we have right now and the expectation that that volume is going to stay at a high level for an extended period of time.
Final question. I see that in the ordinance, the thresholds are $500,000 for professional, technical, and expert service contracts and $1 million for goods and services contracts. So
yes, sir.
The example I gave you of the utilities bringing things on the regular agenda, if this is limited to under $500,000 for PTE contracts, then most of the contracts that I referenced with respect to the utilities would still come to council.
They would
still come to council. So the other question I have is, it's written in terms of the chief procurement officer may execute these contracts. To what extent does your action executing them require some kind of approval or sign-off by the bureau director?
The bureau directors have their own internal processes by which, before the contract shows up in procurement services, to be signed. So different bureaus have different processes, different approval levels on when it finally comes to the chief procurement officer for signature. But by the time it gets to the chief procurement officer, the bureau has approved the contract. I mean, they have approved it being submitted, because when the chief procurement officer signs it, it's an executed contract and it's good. You can go start work.
And so at that point, depending on how the commissioner in charge structures his or her bureau, this could be a contract that's been signed off on by the director and by the commissioner in charge.
Yes, sir.
And that is another level of accountability before it goes to the chief procurement officer.
And that would be individual by commissioner and by bureau, how they choose to address them, yes.
And under this pilot, therefore, nothing would prevent a commissioner from at that point saying, no, on this contract, I would like it to go to council.
Absolutely. A commissioner could absolutely do that.
Okay. Thank you.
So,
Commissioner Saltz.
Yeah, I just want to return to contract extensions and changes in scope. So if I understand under this new rule, if there was a contract, a professional services contract for, I don't know, $450,000, and there was a change of scope or some reason to lead to compensation to exceed 25% of that, that would come back to council?
That comes back to council. That is current practice, and that does not change.
Okay.
It would still come back.
And I guess, I'm prepared to support this pilot, but I have found over the years that I think, a lot of, particularly consultants, I'm not so much sure it's true in the goods and services, but, consultants fear when the commissioner in charge says, gee, I have to take this to council. That scares them, and they usually come in at a price that avoids that threshold. So I want to just kind of register that concern. I'll be looking at that.
Good. I truly hope you do, because I think that's an effective tool.
Yeah, I think it's an effective tool, too, yes.
Mayor, can I make two comments?
Yeah, certainly.
Number one, you asked about the duration of the pilot, and I share your concern on that, and I wonder, so my first question is whether you believe this should be a shorter period. And second, I want to be very clear, and I'm prepared to support this as well, but I would like to either have this baked into what we're doing or made clear to the bureaus that the accountability piece initially rests with the commissioner in charge and the director to sign off on these contracts and then forward them to the chief procurement officer for signature. And at least with my bureaus, I intend to have that step as an accountability piece within the bureaus. And I don't know whether that has to be requested specifically or whether that's just an existing practice.
That would be policy within the Bureau and the structure that you set up within the Bureau.
So that would have to be just clarified with the procurement.
Within the Bureau.
That procurement services cannot execute a contract unless you get the two signature authorities.
If you wished within your Bureau and you would, if you communicated it to us, it would be very helpful. If you want to see, you still want to see construction contracts that over between 500,000 and a million, and you want a checkoff sheet, tell us so we would make very certain that, okay, when a BES contract or a water contract comes through, if the commissioner's box isn't checked, we're not going to sign it. We'll send it back to the Bureau and say, hey, there's a box you missed. So get that checked and initialed, and then we'll sign it. We can do that.
And in response to your question to me, Commissioner Fish, I think it's a misnomer to call it a pilot project. This is a policy change with a sunset, but it makes perfect sense given the life cycle of the contract, as you described earlier.
Thank you.
Is there any public testimony on this item?
Yes, we have three people signed up. They are Craig Rogers, Joe Walsh, and Floyd Jones.
Is there anybody else who'd like to testify? The list is closed. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Council. My name is Craig Rogers. And let's talk animals. This is kind of an example of the fox guarding the hen house or the camel getting its nose under the tent. And when I hear the phrase data-driven, my caution flag goes up. And as you yourself said, Ted, don't trust the numbers. Remember on the emergency with the data. And I would like to hear more of your thoughts on that because it probably comes from your experience. Don't trust the numbers. So during the street fee, near the end of its life here, before it went down to Salem, the city had hired a consultant who had prior experience as an employee of the city, and they needed to reinstate the contract for a sum of $35,000. Citizens of the city, whose money this is, then had an opportunity to voice their opinion. And I think that's a very important right. It's called the First Amendment. So I think it's important to remind you that when standards fall, trust is right behind. And over a period of 4 years, this city report card, these are historic lows. And I know how they got that low. In fact, they're kind of so low, you almost need another piece of paper to show how low they are. I think trust should be a priority. And I think communication is the foundation of all good relationships. And quite frankly, it's really hard often to get through. And we had a member of council say, well, I think staff would be delighted to communicate with you. But that's not the fact. We've had a lot of people, and we've both been present in this room, when they come up here for their 3 minutes and they tell you that they tried to talk to staff and they couldn't get through to them. So I've said before here, I'm watching the death of democracy at the level of Portland City Council. And actually, this is what I'm seeing right now, if you take our voice away on this. But then again, compromise is a wonderful thing. What's the data? If it's to drop down to 100 grand, 150, something, what are the numbers there? It's something to consider. And then in this report here from Osberg, they gave you a D-minus grade for transparency in city spending. Well, I tend to walk on the sunny side of the street. I'd give you an F+.
Craig, in fairness to the mayor, I think he had another job when that report card came out, but I don't think it's been updated in the last 6 months.
Well, there is a trade-off, and in the light of day, the bureau directors have been very explicit about what the trade-off is. There still is the budget process, and you know, in my view, it is as transparent as a public budget process can be. It's probably improvements that can be made, but you know, on the whole, having looked at the county, having looked at the state, and now having the opportunity to evaluate the city, I think it's actually very good. It's not to say there aren't improvements to be made, but the trade-off that they're specifically calling out today is bringing back hundreds of contracts to the city council, and over the past year, the number that were amended or rejected was zero. Against the withering pressure for us to be faster to address the issues of this city. I mean, if you pick up your newspapers today, you will see I am being excoriated broadly for being too slow to respond to the housing crisis. This is exactly the kind of policy change that can help make it efficient and speed things up. So there are trade-offs. But in this case, personally, I think it's a good trade-off. I think it is a risk. There is always risk associated with any policy change. But on balance, I think it's actually a solid move in the right direction. Personally, that's just me. Mr. Walsh, good afternoon.
My name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. I would ask you for your patience if I go over a little bit. I don't feel well, and I'm struggling with some words. You're talking about 95 contracts, okay, in 17 months. That's what they're talking about. So if you do the math, yeah, I'm terrible at this, so because I round everything off. It's about one contract a meeting, a week. Why is that so much to ask from you? There's not a lot of contracts involved in this. It's tens of millions of dollars that you're going to give away to an administrator. The people of Portland voted you into office to take care of our money. Everything I heard here today presented by the people that gave you the information was all about efficiency. Well, there's a guard outside this building. Let's let him sign off on it. That's efficient. They wouldn't even have to bother coming into the building. Just have the guard say, yeah, okay, here's $10 million, go do it. That's efficiency. That's not what you're charged with. You're charged with representing the people's money. That's what your charge is, and you're giving it away for efficiency. I understand you were a treasurer. and it's all about efficiency. Here, it's about, I want you to take care of my money. You know, I want to get up in the morning and say, Mayor Wheeler cares about how he spends money. You were just told by a judge, $17 million. You got to find someplace to give back to the general fund. So with all your stuff that's in place right now that we're asking you not to change, you're on the hook for $17 million. Where are you going to get that? We're asking you, do not change it, or at least do some amendments on this. Shut down, maybe cut it in half, maybe stay, instead of going from $500,000, go to $7,500, or $75,000, or $750,000. Whatever the number is, don't jump from $500,000 to $1 million. Why are you doing that? You guys have a terrible reputation. Why are you doing this? This just adds to it. And that's why we get so frustrated. We walk out this building and just say, God, why did they do that? You know? And it's not going to be on me. It's going to be on you. You know? All of you. It makes no difference to me. I'm not going to be here when this stuff hits the fan. But you got a lot of bills coming up. Don't give away your power.
So just to be clear, we're not.
Yes, you are.
No, you're
it's
wrong.
It's arbitrary.
It is not arbitrary.
I'm going to say to that.
Do you want me to respond to your comment? I'm happy to do it or not,
but
either
tell
way.
Tell the truth. Please.
I will tell the truth. We have people in our city infrastructure. We have bureau directors. We have deputy bureau directors. We have professionals. All of them go through and vet this entire process. Then we, as commissioners who are in charge of whichever bureaus we're in charge of, are then also responsible for the outcomes of those contracts. And then with the then with the parameters that we have just put into place, certain contracts either do automatically come back to the council or by the request of any one of the five of us up here, any contract can come before the council. And what we are balancing here, we're not just saying, hey, go have a party, sign any contract you want. We are simply setting standards for which contracts come back to the council for full council approval. And as you heard, there are multiple checks
and balances. But you lay out this wonderful scenario, except there's one piece missing. And that's, it is not mandated that the bureau heads, which you are the bureau heads, are mandated to do that. It's an option. And a bureau head can do it any way they want. Because the way they we are
I
set
disagree
up
with that.
City,
no, I fundamentally
read the ordinance. Read the ordinance. And if I'm wrong, then put in the ordinance that the bureau heads will review these contracts.
They do.
Because we want to hold you responsible.
They sign them.
Not some administrator.
They sign them and we sign them and then we are held accountable.
It's not in there.
Well, that's the way the contracts work, Joe. That is just how they work. Good afternoon.
Oh, yeah. See, now you went Zoom.
How did I go Zoom?
Because it's not in there. It has to be by law. You cannot say to me, because if a contract comes into this city and this administrator signs off on $1 million contract, you may never see it. And that's what I'm saying.
All right, well, let's see how it shakes out. We'll see who's right.
Let's get
good afternoon.
With the
you've had
money.
Your piece. I've
that's
had mine responding to you. Good afternoon.
And that's what's wrong with this council. You don't listen at all.
You're confusing listening with agreeing with you. And respectfully, sir,
no,
I disagree with you.
Lots
good
of
afternoon.
People disagree with me. Commissioner Fish and I disagree all the time.
Your time is up. Let's hear what she has to say.
Listen, and so do I.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good
thank you for your patience.
Mayor and commissioners. My name is Floy Jones. I'm with Friends of the Reservoirs, and for the benefit of Commissioner Chloe, who I've not had opportunity to speak with, we've been working on Water Bureau issues for 16 years. Personally, I have at least 16,000 hours related to Water Bureau issues over all these years. It would take the full 3 minutes for me to go through all the background, but I've served on the Water Bureau Budget Committee for multiple years, attended all Budget Committee meetings for at least 7 years, maybe 8 years.
Thank you.
as background. Okay. So the reason I'm here is to talk about this procurement change, and we do have the transparency concerns, and it sounds to me as if there are Water Bureau contracts ready to go, and that's why the emergency clause. I'll give you an example from 2000, well, I don't know the year, but anyway, the Water Bureau bought a CH2M Hill technical service contract. It was a flexible service contract for water mains. You can read the contract, you can watch the tape, that's what it says. Then subsequently, we found out they used that contract in order to have CH2M Hill do pre-design for UV radiation, which we don't want mercury in our mercury bulbs breaking in our water. And then that set them up a clear advantage rather to get the next contract, which they did. And so that the issue is, as Commissioner Fish brought up, transparency. When it's on the council agenda, we click on a button, we see what the contract is. We might not have time every single time to come down here to voice any concerns, but we can see it. We know what contracts are out there. We know if we want to go back and ask questions about it, we can. So in this scenario, where would we go to find that information in advance of it being signed? That's a big concern. And transparency all around. I went to the Portland Utility, the new Portland Utility Review Board, and their first issue, and there was consensus on this, is that many complex issues, corrosion control, biogas, of course crypto, that's what they're talking about, hydro, they all come to them, and this is a quote, often it seems as fait accompli, you know, and bottom line says requested information, you know, is usually not given until the day of the meetings, making their work less meaningful. I went to the wholesale customer meeting last week. They are very upset about not being included in the corrosion control up front. Their exact words were, this could set the whole region into chaos. So, I mean, transparency is big for a lot of reasons. You know, looking at these long lists of contracts, I mean, you've all seen my chart, and I know you all hate seeing it, and this only goes to 2011, but these are all the contracts that have gone to MWH Global, CH2M Hill, just up to 2011. There are many, many more. I haven't had time to extend this list here, but transparency is really important. So where is it that we would go to be able to see those contracts? And some of these flexible service contracts will fall into that category.
So, Mayor, can I...
Commissioner Fish, yes.
Thank you for your testimony. Let's excuse the testifiers, and then I'll make a comment. As I read this ordinance, Mayor, it says that if the chief procurement officer may execute professional, technical, and expert service contracts that do not exceed $500,000.
That's correct.
Contracts in excess of $500,000 for PTE, which is what Ms. Jones was referring to, would still come to council.
That's correct.
Okay. And second, as someone who was actually present for part of the pub and has been involved in discussion in a number of these water-related issues, I deeply respect Floyd Jones's service to the city and the dogged way in which she follows these issues, but she just made a number of factually incorrect statements, and we don't have the time to sort of go back and hit the truth button, but it's grossly unfair to make those kinds of comments and representations that aren't factual. And if my colleagues would like to have any follow-up on a number of the things she said, I'd be happy to share the actual factual.
Well, I have sort of a different... I mean, I'm actually very satisfied with this policy. To the degree that there are people out there who want to work with me and who would commit the time and the energy that is required to review contracts on a timely basis, because as you know, the number one standard that we're being held here, which is solving the problems of our community and making it a better place to live, that is actually the value. This is where I disagree a little bit with Mr. Walsh. I agree that maybe in my role as state treasurer, there was more of a focus on, you know, ROI and that kind of thing, efficiency, but that was a different job. The goal here is a values-driven proposition around making the community a better place by addressing issues like the housing and the homelessness issue, policing issues and whatnot. And there's a timeliness aspect to this. And what I hear from the public is they both want us to be transparent and accountable and cost-effective and quick. So there's something of a balancing act that we're engaged in here. And I think this ordinance does a really good job of capturing that balance. But if there's people who are really, really into the contracts that I sign in my bureaus, I'm not afraid to have people come in and review those contracts. I just can't wait 2 months for people to do it. Nor can I wait endlessly to respond to the crises of this community. But if there's people listening and you really want to review contracts to the degree that we're able to accommodate that, great. I'm all for it.
Mayor, if I if I had the time, I'd volunteer. So
perfect.
Let me
I'll put you on the list.
Let me I'd like to just this is not in the nature of a friendly amendment. I think it's just a clarification. The ordinance contemplates that the council will get a report at the end of the pilot period, and it specifies sort of general categories of information. Mayor, my request would be that at the time in which the chief procurement officer begins to think about a report, that we each get an email outlining the intended scope of the report and the issues to be discussed for feedback, so that we can help shape what kind of information we'd like to get back.
You're getting two head nods, Commissioner Fish. That's a go.
Perfectly fine.
Yeah, I don't think this is the time and place to put every single feature. But if you would scope that report with the council before you actually undertake it, I think that would be beneficial.
Absolutely.
Great. Further comments? Seeing none, please call the roll.
Saltzman.
Well, this has been a good discussion. I appreciate the testimony as well as the discussion amongst my colleagues. It is a dry topic, but it's an important topic, how we spend your money. I do think that maybe a little bit lost in all this is procurement services is a body that's independent of the bureaus, and I think they're charged with being autonomous and applying a certain amount of criteria and asking tough questions of contracts that come out of the bureaus. And I do think that that's something that we sort of have maybe been glossed over in this discussion. I'm willing to undertake this for a couple years. I am somewhat, and I say that as somewhat of a micromanager. I do like to, and, you know, I do sign every contract under every bureau that I've ever overseen. My signature's on that contract, as I'm sure is the case with my colleagues. But I think that it's worth, given the booming climate we're in and given our bureaus have a lot of work to do to fulfill public needs, I think this is worth undertaking this, not pilot, but program for 2 years with a sunset clause. Aye.
U Daily.
I had some concerns about this ordinance, but I appreciate all the conversation and questions that were answered today. It makes sense to me. We haven't adjusted the signature authority in 20 years. A lot has changed. And the fact that there's a sunset on this and we're going to receive a report is reassuring to me. Aye.
Fish.
Yeah, I think this has been a good discussion. I think the reason we keep calling it a pilot is because the word pilot appears in the ordinance. So
it's true.
It's a subliminal thing. But and I appreciate the concern people have raised about how we balance transparency and efficiency. But I'm persuaded that this is worth experimenting with, and particularly because the PTE threshold is set at 500,000, it doesn't change the existing practice with the utilities of bringing those contracts to council, and we will continue to do so on the regular agenda. So thank you to Procurement Services and the mayor for bringing this forward. Aye.
Wheeler.
I loved this conversation today. Obviously not all of us agreed on all points, but I actually appreciate it. I appreciated the back and the forth, and I think the discussion/debate helped highlight the trade-offs that are inherent in this policy. And so, I frankly really enjoyed that. I hope we have continued robust discussions and even disagreements in this chamber. I think it's a good right-sizing. I think it's a good course correction given the changes that have taken place over the years. And I really appreciate the work that the bureaus have done to come up with what I think is a very good common-sense approach that takes into account a lot of different balanced and sometimes competing needs. So I think you hit the balance largely right, and I'll look forward to seeing how this unfolds in the months ahead. All right, the ordinance is adopted. Next item.